little Uber, liver.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with the best famous gardeners ever. Lance and Lulu, good evening.
Son of a gun.
Son of a gun.
Yeah. Hello out there.
Hi, everybody.
Well, good to be here tonight. We have planned on a special guest who's been a bit delayed, so not sure if he'll be here, but if not tonight, then we'll plan on...
Another time.
So we're going to wing it until he does get here, because we weren't planning on talking.
So you all can save us from our sins by calling 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF. Now.
You can email. We got that high-tech thing going, too.
Yeah. We love that high-tech thing.
It's pretty great. We get
you know,
quite a few.
It's really groovy, too, because, you know, if send us pictures.
Yeah.
We love like that. You know, so go out there with your little phone, flip a photo.
Mm-hmm. It might just be posted on the KVNF website.
Yeah, you become photo famous.
Right. You can always listen to the show after the fact at KVNF.org.
Yeah,
as
and
well.
On the blogosphere, too.
The blogosphere, right? Yeah. We're a blog. Did you know that?
That I still don't
know. No, we're a pod. We're a pod or a blog.
Whatever we are, it's like the one
feels
that,
good.
What was that that. That, oh, God, Bill Crosby used to do the, no, that wasn't him, but the blob, you know, took over Chicago. I love that.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah, the blob.
The blob. Okay.
Whatever.
Let's talk blob.
Okay, let's talk dirt.
Let's talk dirt. So tell us what's going on in your gardening, because we were just chatting beforehand out. Everything is coming on, so... 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. You've just been a harvesting fool.
I've been harvesting since Friday, just nonstop. All different types of grapes. And then, let's see, I have three types of prune plums, all of them harvested last this evening.
Jeez.
Or this afternoon.
What do we have here, Lance? You brought in prune plums.
That's a French prune plum. It's prune d'Agen. Mm. And this is the only prune plum that I have that I actually air dry with the pit in it.
I just
air dry them. I don't have to cut.
A hush fell over the crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
So you
really?
I just put them on flats and keep an eye on them, turn them, and they'll eventually dry.
And with your other plums, you're actually cutting the pit out?
Yeah.
I do too? Yeah.
I
cut the pit out and I turn the plum inside out.
Yeah. Mm. And they'll dry faster.
And they dry faster. And I use dehydrators because I'm that kind of girl. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's because I don't have enough consistent sunlight in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd have to be out there moving screens and trays around every 5 minutes. Yeah.
I have the old mobile home and it's probably... During the summer, it's probably 100 and something in there.
It's a dehydrator.
This time of year, it's 95, and I just run a fan on it.
Woo! Yeah, that's perfect.
It works really
good.
And
it's probably pretty darn full, considering all of your...
I have six trays, and I'm filling a new one up every day.
Oh, wow.
And within 6 days, the stuff that's on that tray, because I shift them around, and in 6 days, the peaches are dry.
Wow.
Oh, see, and mine are dry in... Less than 24 hours.
Yeah, and that dehydrator, yeah.
Yep.
Do you have that thing pretty much going now, Lulu?
All kinds of different stuff? Well, I just finished drying all the elderberries, and I pulled those out. And the little dehydrator right now has just the sun golds in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to pull my peaches off to the tree today, but I keep stalling because... They're just getting sweeter and sweeter,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And my plums, my Italian prune plums, I pulled one off the tree yesterday and ate it, and it was so close, but not there. And it was on the shady side.
Uh-huh.
And Dave, my neighbor, pulled two off on his side, and he said they were magnifique.
He'd be on the sunny side.
He'd be on the sunny side.
Mm,
and the peaches have been doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that hit the ground... I've been taking those and I, you know, they usually, they hit the ground, they get a little bruised. So I'm going to be drying a bunch of those, not a bunch, I don't know, a dozen or two tonight. But it's hit or miss, and take what you can and leave the rest. And, but it's all coming at once. The peppers, the tomatoes, the kale, the collards. Oh, my God, I had collards for breakfast this morning. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Oh, those Georgia Southern, those Southern Georgia collards, I'm telling you, they are the sweetest thing ever. Even without the frost, they're amazing.
Yeah. Let's see, what else am I harvesting? The Hutterite soup beans.
You got a lot of beans going,
and
don't
you? And then the Anasazis. Okay. I harvested those. And then I harvested the pinto. I got one small late planted pinto that will be ready by next weekend.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I'm harvesting peas and beets and, of course, carrots and lettuce and spinach. And, you know, it just goes on and on.
Right. It goes on.
Right. Yeah. I have trophy arugula.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Trophy bean beautiful?
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's just flawless, and it's big, and it's spectacular. I mean, it's spectacular, and I can't make any more pesto with it. I can't, and feel good about myself, because I already have 42 half pints in the freezer. It's like, really? That's almost one a week for a year.
Oh, come on. I'll help you with that.
Arugula
pesto. That and the sorrel.
Oh, the sorrel. I haven't even started on the sorrel yet, because I just keep going out and looking at that, and it's fine.
Uh-huh.
It's fine. Man, once you get that initial bolting, and you cut those out, and then I take everything off. I take everything off the sorrel plants at when they bolt, and because then you get rid of all the leaf miner.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden the beets look fabulous, the sorrel, and as the sorrel comes back, it looks fabulous.
It looks really good right now.
Yes, and I can just tell you, it makes me so happy.
One more thing to do.
I know, one more thing to do, right? And so, you know, but I got all my Concords in. I was pleased with that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I called in reinforcements. I called a friend and said, come get some grapes, please.
Oh, good, good.
And there's still some reliance on the vine, but... Mm-hmm.
And Lance, you got grapes drying all over the place? What's going
on?
Yeah,
I thought I was going to get... Yeah, I got them all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, this is when, again, one of those periods of time when you don't have much horizontal space.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just there's something on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite that bad. I actually have one table that's clear at this moment.
Are you doing a jigsaw puzzle on it?
Yeah. No, not so much.
The living room area got so crowded and... jammed up that I took all of that stuff and it's now in the spare bedroom. I don't have to look at it. It's over there.
Right.
This feels better.
Right.
I can breathe a little bit.
Right. My living room has all pressure. The stuff that isn't food. You know, all the jars and everything are in there and books and Christmas.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's no more pruning on the roses. Just an ornamental thing.
Mm-hmm. And are there other plants like that that we shouldn't be pruning right now to not stimulate?
Just cut everything down. It's ugly. Get rid of it.
Yeah, I'm actually pruning. I'm pruning and thinning some people's lilacs.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, I need to do that.
Lilacs.
They're so big and out of control that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's not the optimum time,
But it's time.
Okay.
But it's time.
So you're taking the dead wood out?
I'm thinning and I'm cutting it down because they've gotten so tall that there's no sunlight in the yard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm letting I want to get all the seeds out of mine. I might be too late already, but they're so good at germinating themselves, you know, that that becomes a problem.
Yeah,
so
lilacs are weed. Can be a weed this
year.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I keep thinking any minute I'm going to get to it, but not so much.
Yeah, the pruning of the roses is just because that's how you stimulate them to get more flowers.
Right.
But you want them now to harden off for the winter.
Okay.
And if you prune now, you got this young succulent growth, shall we say, and that's all going to freeze off.
Right. But in real life, you might not have such succulent because there just isn't any water.
Yeah, yeah.
So then there's that. So you know, you might look at your roses and, you know, if you're not planning to water anymore and there isn't any water available.
Leave them alone.
Leave them alone. Or what I'm going to do is there's a spot where they're kind of in my way. So I'm going to get them out of my way, but they're not getting any water. They're not going anywhere, I promise. Except to sleep. Yeah. The sooner the better.
Yeah.
Jesus, God almighty.
They did like the hot weather, don't you think?
Oh, man, they loved it. Yeah. It was fabulous.
Okay, 970-527-4868-1866, KVNF now, worm@kvnf.org. Lulu, I just want to get back to chopping it down. What are you chopping down? What can we chop down before the winter?
Oh, my God. So all of my phlox and all of that stuff that's out in the Rio Grande garden, and the asters are going off. I love to hate the asters.
You were hating asters last week.
Yeah. No, I know. You know, and I was all ready to just yank them out of there. And now they're all blooming, and I'm going, why am I fighting this?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just put them all along the border here and just let them rip? They're not going to go backwards. That's
right?
Where the shade is.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to go that way. So let them come. Whatever. But, yeah, just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that's dried out and done for the season.
Go for it.
Go
get
ahead
rid of it.
And cut it down.
Cut it down.
Yeah.
Anything
phlox,
dried out.
Anything that's dried out and done.
I mean, any of your, like my, I have lily stalks that are 3 feet
yeah,
tall
me too.
And
yeah.
they're bone dry.
Uh-huh.
They're done.
Gotta go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The phlox, all the heads that are nothing but dried flowers, get rid of them because they spread like a weed too.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can see them really well right now. It's
clean
that stuff
just
up.
Clean it up. Yep. All my daylilies are down. They're dead. Mm-hmm. And the apples, oh, my God. And then there's the
apples. Yes, it's apple time.
Yeah. So there's thousands of apples coming off a big mama. Little mama and the pear tree really, I think, need to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's so freaking sad to me.
You're going to be contemplating that over
all
the winter,
winter.
Huh?
Yeah, because they're black again, you know. Mm-hmm. I cut all the black out of the pear tree, massacred it, and it's just coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And little mama, one branch that, the only branch that's dying back, but it's the same story. And it's that, what did we decide it was? Hawthorn rust.
Hawthorn cedar rust.
Yeah.
And it's, over the years, it's taken its toll.
Yeah, and it just keeps going back and forth between the two of them because the apples are pippins. They're a cross with the pear, and the both of them are susceptible to it.
Mm-hmm.
So between the two of them, they just keep, hey, you want some of mine? Sure, I'll take some of yours. Hey, you want to die off a branch? No, sure, I'll die off a branch. You know, and it's just back. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm over it. And then I'm going to grow blue morning glories on little mama.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. I know. She'll be gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every morning glory.
Yeah.
The grandpa
ox,
those blue ones.
Uh-huh.
Mm. I love those.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the purple ones too, don't get me wrong. But
yes.
Well, that's a good way to go out.
Yeah, just as a specialty sort of thing, you know, and I can keep them somewhat contained.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could plant your temperate yam to grow up that thing.
Oh, my God, the
Ooh,
temperate yam.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's that giant thing that you had
that one
a couple
time.
Years ago.
When am I going to start cursing you for that?
What's coming up? Start right now.
Like right now? I swear, that thing
Let
is spectacular. And it died itself back, right? And so now there's all these new shoots coming up in the little spot where it's been designated. But there's got to be 40 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It goes
what?
Up. It goes all the way up. I don't know how high it is. It's high. I got to get on a stepladder to reach the top, and then it goes across that, and then it's going all the way down the other side. And
no
and
kidding.
The flowers. We both boned out on the flowers this year.
Yeah.
You know, we did our best. We kept them wet. Everything was groovy, and then they all just fried. I don't know what happened. It was too hot.
Too hot.
Too hot.
Too hot. Too sunny. So whatever.
Wow, that's
but
amazing.
But it's spectacular.
Yeah.
It's absolutely spectacular.
The beautiful vine.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful vine. And one that goes after my own heart because it dies all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to do any maintenance on, you know, a fence or a house or a wall or whatever, it's out of there. It's gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's gotta go.
Yeah, or it's you amazing. Can plant it on a sunny side. And all summer long, it grows and shades.
And it shades.
And wintertime, it's gone.
It's gone.
Wow.
Right.
I like
so
that.
So someplace like, which is exactly what it's doing, because it's on the east side of the chicken yard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's given the chickens all this lovely shade all summer. And then when it dies, I'll take it all off of the utility hog panel
wow.
that it's on. And that sun will come right in there. It'll be fabulous.
Wow. Yeah. I like
that.
That
low rider morning, you know, yeah.
The
low riding winter sun will come right
mm-hmm.
in there. And they'll have some sun.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
What are you going to curse them about? You were going to curse them on the tempered yam.
Oh, my God.
Sounds fabulous.
Because it doesn't do that all by itself. You have to go up
you gotta
there.
You got to work it a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, you got to
right?
work it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to get
you,
your
you have to have a trellis for it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and it better be stout.
Yeah, growing 40 feet in a year.
I mean, the spot where I dug that up.
Yeah.
A year later, another shoot came up from there.
Ah, see?
It took a year. I mean, one whole season, there was nothing there. Next year, oh,
there
look at
was.
That.
Oh, look at that. Well, that's
awesome.
What this one did. Well, the original one that you gave me went and did its thing. And then the next year, it was pretty much not there. Had one little shoot. And it was way off to the side. I'm like, what are you thinking here? And then that took off, and now it's back all over the place. It's fabulous.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Tempered yam has a new meaning to me now.
Keep your temper.
Keep your temper. Ooh, that's always good advice.
If you can.
970-527-4868. 1-866 KVNF now. And we have an email from James down in Montrose.
Excellent.
Wanting to know about beekeeping in Montrose. So he lives on 1 acre just outside of the city limits around San Juan Gardens, if you know where that is.
Yeah.
And what research... You do know where
yeah,
that is?
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay. So what research he's done is that he has no access to irrigation water, so gardening is a challenge, but he has some pasture land on the north and east side of the property, vacant field with a bunch of junk cars to the west and a neighbor to the south. There's your logistics for beekeeping.
Well, they'll fly 3 miles. To
3 mile radius.
Oh, 3 mile
geez.
Radius.
Yeah.
You know, and that's 3 miles as the bee flies, you know. So that's
right.
that's a long way. And I would say go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it. Anybody who can raise bees and keep them healthy and keep them alive, go for it. They're suffering. They're struggling.
Yeah.
Now.
You know, there's some that dry land. He doesn't have much water.
No, it's really dry. Do you know where it is?
I have an idea, but
it's
I was thinking.
It's out on the east side there.
For at least a fall crop, rabbit brush.
Oh.
Rabbit brush is blooming right now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so it's just something that you might be able to plant. And it's a native plant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chamisa is the Spanish.
Chamisa is how you say it.
In the Spanish thing. And there's different varieties, and you could plant that. And you could be, you know, starting any time. He doesn't have much water, but he could plant those small patches of buckwheat.
Okay.
Buckwheat.
For blooming.
For blooming.
Yeah.
Those fields and stuff probably have clover and alfalfa. Alfalfa for a honeybee is pretty hard for them to work
out.
Yeah,
but it's
clover,
hard to get the flowers.
That's a specific type of bee that does alfalfa. But clover, any type of clover the bees really like.
Montrose has a lot of that alfalfa clover
yeah, you
going
know,
on
there's
down there. And
probably enough going on
yeah.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then the garden, the
all the different gardens.
Different plant stuff is there, too. So.
Or even like the when Amber was in, our fellow worm, talking about our pollinator garden. And she put all those flowers out there.
Yeah.
Like Cosmos, they don't need a lot of
Oh, you know
water.
What else, too? Mint. At this time of year. Man, the
They love the mint.
Man, they're working my mint, and it's almost done. I feel so sad for them.
The mint, Russian sage.
Mm-hmm.
Russian sage is another great
that's
one.
That's blooming now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was thinking, I'm not sure there and how far irrigation canals, and I hate to say it, but bees really like Russian olive.
Oh, they do.
Oh, I don't hate to say that.
I mean, I like Russian olive. But
I do too.
It's a weed species.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
It's an invasive species, but it smells fabulous. It looks fabulous. It makes it in a desert. And the fruit is actually edible for a lot of birds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the
small little flower is the bees really make a good honey out of it.
Yes. And it's smells divine.
And if you know anybody that's growing a large patch of like an acre, 2 acre, 3 acre patches of squash, that makes really, really thick, good honey.
Oh.
And you can put your hives right out there. Oh, so if you find that, uh-huh. you know, you're out there in that agricultural area. So.
Yeah,
right.
There must be somebody who's yeah. growing squash. Yeah.
Pretty amazing, like, to have local honey
but
right
then,
now.
Right.
And
but
know
it,
where it's, where those bees have been eating. They might have been eating in your garden.
Yeah.
It is so
yeah,
awesome.
It's so awesome. The other thing, though, is there's a lot of Olathe sweet corn out there.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, is it.
Well, duh.
If it's made GMO, then, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not GMO. It pulls a lot
3 mile radius as the bee flies.
No, as the bee flies.
Yeah, as the bee flies.
Yeah,
and
so,
what they're getting
you know,
is the pollen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it, you know I'm just putting it out there.
Right.
I'm not
think about it.
I'm just saying think about it. You know, if you do have a lot of Olathe sweet corn nearby, it's a incredibly heavy user of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's yeah. not organic.
No. It can't. It's too special.
Hybrid.
It's too hybrid. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
That's not corn.
No.
It's too sweet.
It's too sweet. But it's, yeah, I get it. People love it. Now, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to say another word about it. That's okay. Just it. I just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So there
good.
You go.
Thank you, James.
But I still say go for it.
Yeah, go for it, see what happens.
You know,
so
adapt
fabulous.
Or die. Those bees will figure it out, you know. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, just get some more. I don't, you know,
yeah.
figure it out.
And you know what's interesting? I've taken care of some gardens where there's bees, and those bees drink a lot
of
water. Amazing mm-hmm. how much water they go through.
Yeah, and I have my, you know, my little chicken yard, and I've always got my little container of water out there, my little water
mm-hmm.
thing. And it's amazing. There's always, and I never can figure out. A worm got in it the other day, into the chicken watering trough. Now that meant it had to crawl up the side of the can that's underneath because I you know put it up, and then it had to crawl up the side of the
itsy bitsy worm.
And then it got
yeah,
into the water, of course, and died. But I just was amazed. I was amazed.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about those chickens. Hey, we do have time for another call.
Yeah, what? You know, you guys could save us from ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what else? You know what I wanted to say just really quick?
Yeah.
What about the bitter cucumbers?
Oh, you've got bitter cucumbers going
no,
on?
No, I don't, but
uh-huh.
somebody
some
I
do?
Know has some. And okay. so, therefore, we were wondering about that. So when the cucumbers become that bitter, how does that really happen? The old wives' tale is they've been cross-pollinated with somebody else.
I never heard that. It seems like it's uneven watering.
Oh.
Dries out.
See, I can't. I don't
know. Because I've been picking the same two hills of cucumbers. All summer long, and sometimes I get bitter, and sometimes I get ones that are great.
But you just think it's water.
I think it's uneven watering.
At a specific time, maybe, in their
yeah,
development?
Yeah, and it's extreme heat.
Mm, well, then mm-hmm. there's that.
You
that
know.
Whole thing going on.
Yeah, that was one of those areas I told you that mentioned that for some reason dried out fast. I've never had that problem, but in that because of this dry year.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about that
was,
before.
So I actually had to make a special effort to water once I caught on, to water that extra because it was drying out faster.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I know these guys have been really, I know they've been working hard to keep this
mm-hmm.
garden wet. They've given up on the collards because they're so covered with aphids.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Just pull them.
Yeah.
Try and get some salsify going in there. They need more the plants that collect, you know, the predator guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, more of those umbrals, more bronze fennel
and carrots.
Change up the variety
carrots,
a little bit.
Yeah, the carrots blooming and those big umbral head flowers are what you yeah. know. Cilantro is another one.
Well, that's fennel, called, dill,
fennel, dill, cilantro, parsley.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it starts in the beginning of the year with the sweet Sicily and you know yeah. lovage and all of that that brings
mm-hmm.
in those. Little predators.
All those predators, and
yeah.
they'll take care of most of the aphids.
They'll take care of a bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, the whole watering thing's been tricky this year. You just blew out your sprinkler. Huh,
yeah,
Lulu?
I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah, well, I didn't blow it out. Kenny came over and blew it out. But, yeah, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Why
well,
not?
Well, no, I, you know.
And, yeah. Lance, what's your advice on going into the fall and winter with watering?
Well, if you can water those perennials going into winter, at least in October, early November, and good. And if it's a dry winter, water them maybe once a month.
Okay.
So that ain't going to happen at my yard. They're all on their own.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, because I can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, flat out.
Well, you're off skiing.
Yeah. For one thing, I'm not even home. And, you know, for two.
Number two doesn't even matter
because
you're not
count.
Even home.
Yeah, but by that time, you know, and I figure I'll just get back in the spring and pick up the pieces.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. If you have the ability to water.
To water, do it. Yeah.
You can do it. And you don't have to do deep watering, but just once, you know, once, like I said, going into winter.
Right.
And then if it's dry winter. Last winter was the first time I ever watered my garden.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did,
so dry last winter.
I did it once in January and once in February.
Wow. Well, what is it?
That's
Nino? We want the El Nino?
I don't know what we... You know what
bring
we
it
want?
On.
We just want snow. I'll take as much
snow.
As you can give me. I'll take it all. Mm-hmm. I am so jonesing to ski powder.
Yeah. One thing that's coming on that hasn't is if you have an almond crop.
Okay.
And
Mentioned wherever you can grow peaches, you can grow almonds.
Right.
Wherever you grow peaches, you can grow nuts.
Yeah.
Not just almonds.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
But
just nuts in general.
Nuts. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. And to know when they're ready to pick or harvest is they actually crack down the side.
Right. The little, there's a green shell on them. And
yeah, that
crack.
Green husk. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the actual unshelled almond is inside that.
Yeah. Okay.
And, one of my almond trees, and it was in a drier spot of the garden. That one's already done. They all cracked open, and we harvested those. There wasn't that many, but the other trees got quite a bit on it. And it's get a little bit more shaded by the mulberry trees and other fruit trees that it's still got another week or two. But so
there's an indicator, though, to
yeah,
know
it
when
actually
to...
those they will crack and. You'll see it right down the side. You know that line on a peach?
Yeah.
Where you
that's
put your
the
knife
same,
in.
Yeah, that same line is going to, that's the side that's going to crack open.
Yeah.
All right. So the almonds are coming on too. Like you said, everything all at once.
Well, to be continued, you know?
Yeah. To be continued next Tuesday.
Pick up the pieces and carry on.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks for tuning in this evening. We'll be back next Tuesday at 6:30.
God willing and the creek don't rise.
And we might just have a special guest with us.
Yeah.
So it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. And see you guys next week. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
All right. Have a good evening out there.
Good night, everybody.
Best pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, the whole little low and low.